Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The bill ending the government shutdown also has language allowing more spending for upgrading a lock in the Ohio River between Illinois and Kentucky. The provision would let the government spend $2.9 billion, an increase from the current cap of $775 million, to upgrade the Olmsted Lock on the Ohio River. Senator Dianne Feinstein says that leaders of a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee that oversees water projects requested the provision. JC Intelligence in Shanghai today says that China has purchased nearly 20 shipments of U.S. corn, or around 1.2 million metric tons, so far this month. The shipments are due to arrive sometime during March through June of next year. China imported 1.6 million tons of corn in the first 8 months of this year, 94% of which came from the U.S. The chairman and ranking members of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees met yesterday and made plans for the Farm Bill Conference as congressional leaders finalized a budget deal that could also involve the Farm Bill. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Frank Lucas says the House will hold its first conference meeting next week if the House is in session, or the week following if the House is in recess. Joining us now, it is a joining us now, but it's in person right in front of me, and he's got a big old smile on his face. He is Les Schulte.
Well, that was pretty slick, Dave. I never had an introduction like that before. and I'm happy to be here and talk to our audience this morning. We're into the last couple of days of our fall pledge period. And if you have not yet had the opportunity to make your contribution to WILL and renew that pledge of support to your public radio station and all of the ag services that you get right here, we ask you to do that right now. 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. We were looking to hear from 50 pledges during morning edition. I think we're like eight away from making that. So if we could get a few of our ag listeners who really appreciate this service, along with all the other things maybe you might listen to on this station, call right now at 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org, because when you do that, you're also helping us meet another challenge that we've
got. Yeah, in fact, I got out my abacus this morning and started pushing those little beads around, and what I came up with was that we're about 75 pledgers away, 75 people who say they support agriculture away from making a challenge for $2,250. It's an odd number, I know. $2,250. So I came up this morning with the 75 for 75 campaign.
That's a great idea, because if we're only 75 pledges away, and here's the challenge, by the way, as Dave said, we have this challenge on the table to hear from a 100 pledges this week. We're 75 away. We can make that for $2,250. Our friends at AgriGold, Bates Commodities, Stuart Peterson, the Champaign County Branch, Strategic Farm Marketing, and the Andersons have pulled this money together. They say, you make that, we'll throw that money into the kitty, and that'll help pay for things like Commodity Week and a lot of the services that we have here.
Like the show that we're talking about.
We're talking about. 217-244-9455. Think of making just a $75 a year contribution for the information that you get here every day on WILL.
And just to give you a little taste of how that plays out, I can pretty much tell you that right now NASS is meeting in Washington, D.C. to discuss when they're going to start releasing the reports that they missed. WASD is doing the same later on today, early tomorrow. The two sides will come together and try to figure out how they're going to coordinate that. I also can tell you that my reporting says that there is very likely going to be a crop progress report next Monday afternoon. I have that on good authority. So
There you have it. There you go. And if this is the kind of information that you depend on, that you need to make your make proper business decisions in your agribusiness, then we ask you to invest just a little bit back so that we can continue to do the work for you. And if you can make a $75 a year contribution, great. If you can make a $120 a year contribution, that's just $10 a month if you want to put it on a monthly payment plan. That's terrific too. Whatever works for you really works for us. You help us meet this challenge. It's everyone kind of coming together and doing what they can to support a service that they use. And you start by calling this number, 217-244-9455, or maybe online at willpledge.org. Make sure you mention ag as one of the services that you appreciate so we can count you towards this challenge we have going on.
Here's meteorologist Drew Lerner.
The majority of the Midwest weather is expected to be unstable over the next 5 days. That means that we'll see some waves of light precipitation moving from northwest to southeast across the region. Most of this precipitation, though, is just not likely to have a huge impact on the region. With that said, though, it's important to note that soybeans are usually not harvested if there's any moisture out there on the crop, just simply because it has a tendency to clog up some of the harvesters. It is a pattern that we're in right now that is going to prevail for a little while. I have a northwesterly flow pattern aloft bringing in waves of cool air, and as each wave comes into the Midwest, it cools the atmosphere a little bit more. And as that cooling process takes place, it generates a lot of cloud cover and some opportunity for precipitation. And most of the moisture that occurs in the Midwest will occur in the forms of drizzle, maybe a little fine mist once in a while, and some brief rain showers occurring across the area. And this kind of pattern will disrupt the field operations, obviously, and will not have a huge impact on the bottom line for soil moisture, however. And we will expect the cloud cover and the light precipitation to work against temperatures each day, and afternoon readings will struggle to get above the 40s and 50s in the northwestern half of the Midwest and above the 50s and maybe some lower 60s in the southeast portions of the region. This kind of environment will leave what areas are a little bit too wet in that condition for an extended period of time. That means places like the eastern Dakotas and parts of Minnesota that got with the greatest amounts of precipitation over the past week will probably have a tough time drying down to the point of offering aggressive field progress. We will look for the low temperatures at night to fall into the 20s and 30s in the northwestern Corn Belt. That would include places like the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, portions of northern Iowa, and maybe back into Nebraska. Most other areas in the Midwest will not drop below freezing, and we'll likely see that state continuing into at least the middle part of next week, and most likely until the latter part of the week. The odds are fairly good that colder air will finally work its way through the entire Midwest as we get into the second half of next week, and that will bring those frost and freezes further to the south and east across the Midwest. The nation's greatest precipitation potential is going to be focused mostly across the upper parts of the Midwest over this next five-day period. There is some chance that a stronger storm system will develop in the last week of October across some of the eastern portions of the U.S. A strong low-pressure trough will likely be present over the heart of the Midwest, which will make the potential for the next storm system of size to be mostly an Atlantic coastal event. We'll continue to watch that. The models are being highly inconsistent with this particular event. The outlook across some of the U.S. hard red winter wheat country is still offering a good environment with a mix of some shower activity and mostly dry weather. Some areas in the hard red winter wheat country are in need of greater precipitation in order to induce the best possible crop establishment. Some areas in the U.S. Midwest soft red wheat areas are going to need some warmer temperatures, though, in order to assure that the crops can emerge and establish in the best environment. The cool weather of this next week will lower those soil temperatures. They'll still be in a favorable range, but if the process continues for very much longer, there might become a concern for crops that are going to be planted late this season in the sense of having enough warmth to establish properly. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red December wheat, 748 and three quarters up four. Soft December, 688 and a quarter up six and three quarters. December corn, 444 and a half up one and three quarters. November soybeans, 1285 and a half up nine. December soybean meal, 408.50 up 470. December soybean oil, 41.26 down 11. October live cattle, 130.10 up 80. October feeders, 166.35 up 35. December lean hogs, 89.52 and a half up 72 and a half. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen. Well, let's wait a minute. Let's try that. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
I know one group of people that is happy that government is back operating, and that is probably your livestock people.
Yep, they sure should be. That's about the only way you can get widespread cash information and for settlement of these cash-linked futures contracts. That's pretty darn important. Everybody's been watching this week whether the live cattle can show a 130 mark. I know there was some 129 paid yesterday in the Southwest, but it'll just be interesting to see if we make all-time highs.
Meanwhile, on the grain side, we're seeing a little bit of a rally today, actually.
We are seeing a little bit of a rally. We still, I would call it a subdued rally. I like that November beans took out that 1286 area that had been a support area on the way down. Now resistance took that out. We 1294 is the next resistance on Novi beans at the 20-day moving average.
And in the corn, we have a chance for a key hook reversal higher. We can get above last week's high.
Yeah, we still have to go up over that 449 and a half area, and 450, I think, is going to be kind of a difficult area unless we can pick up some volume.
Turn your attention to the potential of if NASA were to release a bunch of export sales reports all at once and we got some confirmation of big sales, either corn or beans. Do you think this is priced in the market, or do you think we would get a little bit of a pop?
We've been talking about large buys from China, both on the corn and the bean side. We've also talked a little bit about some corn buys from Japan. But if there would be something large outside those two countries, I think we could see this market rally.
And what about to crop progress? What if harvest is well ahead of where we think it is?
Would be probably a basis firming move, a little bit more widespread, and probably a little bit firming on the future side. I don't think commercials have gotten as much bought as they think they should have for what local areas have harvested.
So will they pick that up in the upcoming days?
Oh, I don't know. I think the cash offers are still a good 25 cents above the market in corn and probably 40 cents above the market in beans.
What else are you going to look at in the balance this week?
Stiff loss here in the U.S. dollar could be a little bit important as we look at the export side of things.
I did see that drop in the dollar. It was pretty significant.
It was a significant move. You know, we've been up above 80, and now we're down below 80 again. I think milling quality wheat demand from Asia remains strong.
In fact, we're challenging the early October lows at this point.
We sure are. And, again, I think it's a real firming factor, particularly on the wheat and secondarily on the corn side.
Thank you very much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Hey, Les, I can't tell you how important this challenge really is for our overall objectives of meeting our agricultural goals. It's a really big deal.
These are big deals. I mean, we kind of sometimes, you know, I don't want to say make light of it, but we have a little fun.
We have a little fun.
And that's great. But the serious business is making these challenges is important. And then these businesses, they offer these challenges to encourage you as a listener to take a next step. I mean, because because we all know we're busy. We're doing things. This is a real busy time
of
the year.
Real busy time for producers.
For producers. You're trying to get the harvest in. And so we know that even trying to find that extra maybe 2 or 3 minutes when you can make that call or make that pledge online can be hard to do, even though you say, well, you know what, I'm going to get around to it. But that's why these challenges are there to kind of remind you that, yes, my pledge is important. My $75 contribution is important. My $10 a month contribution is important to the services that I receive back from this public radio station, these agricultural services. They allow us to not only bring you on-air reports, they allow us not only to bring you a variety of marketing opinions that we know our listeners value.
Yes.
We can do this on air, on the radio, online. We have a very extensive online service that we know people use.
They
go
do.
To those sites. They download those podcasts.
Yeah.
And so that's because you can listen to them, those podcasts, whenever you have time. And sometimes you don't have time right at the moment. There's a phone service. Help me out here, Dave. There's a newsletter.
The Aggie newsletter. There's our Outlook meetings. Mm-hmm. All very important. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.